Cho.
What up? What
we
up?
Must be back with a new season, man. 1100 AM.
That right? That
and
right?
We got Tiff, Hand in the building, HO and
what
Coach.
Up? Up?
You now about to witness the strength of Sports Talk Radio.
Lego.
I can read your mind, you know it's that time.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly, I feel like Brent Grimes. About to kill the whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stall in. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the king, fam.
Woo.
Been balling since Space Jam. New logo like the LA Rams. SRT next up. Big dog picks Devin Hester. And that's the word on the street. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen. Real talk, Kane, I know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it.
What up? It's Sports Roundtable, live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station. We are here in the ATL. What they call it, Thanksgiving Eve, that is. And we are in the building. The SRT crew is in the building, minus the Jewel of Sports. Of course, she's getting her Thanksgiving in. She's been so loyal to us for 3 years. She deserves a day off. When you say fella,
I would say yes.
For sure.
Absolutely. But we still rocking with the rest of the crew. Got G Money behind the glass doing this thing, dropping them beats. First time listening, shame on you, but we really appreciate it. The show is real simple. Sports Roundtable is where sports and entertainment meets. And we operate from our favorite hashtag,
We Know Sports.
And I am your humbled host, Mr. H.O. from Bankhead. Why you always say Bankhead?
Why do you always say Bankhead?
Man, I can't ever.
You freshed up, ain't you?
Yes, sir. Can't ever forget where I'm come from. You know how it is. But if your first time listening, we got to let you meet the rest of the crew.
Hold up. Everybody listening to the sound of my voice right now.
Uh-oh. What you got to say, D?
Go to Facebook.
What?
Because Hancock, the sports superhero, is live.
We live, baby.
Uh-oh.
Stop it. Hancock is live for the first time on Facebook.
Let's get it, baby.
Hancock live.
Superhero is in the building. What's up?
You the man.
I don't need no intro. I'm here.
I see. Yeah, I see.
What's going? Let's get it. What's happening, D-Weez?
What happening?
What's up, ATL?
What up?
Big homie, who you got sitting in the corner?
Man, got the special one sitting over here, man. She come down just to try to see what we all about.
I hear that.
Trying to see how we do this thing. How do we get so popular so fast?
Oh, no, man. I guess.
Time out. Everybody, listen to the sound of my voice. Go to Facebook right now, because G Money is live. G Money is live on Facebook.
G Money, you live too.
Oh my God.
We have to be.
Hey. G Money, what we say? How about them Cowboys?
Oh, that's what it is. Oh, Lord.
What's up, Atlanta? I didn't speak to my folks out there, did I?
There you go, Will.
What's up, Atlanta? Somebody go live with me. Let me know I'm out there.
There you go. They're probably surprised.
I know they are, but that's all right. We're going to work it out.
Absolutely. Dez checking in Facebook Live. What up, Dez?
What up, Dez?
Dez, you know what I'm saying. The champion of the world is here. D-Will, the coach. What up, D-Weezy?
What's happening, man? What up, crew?
What up?
Ain't nothing, man. I'm good.
Everything good?
Yeah, man. Iron Bowl week. Everything is great.
Okay. Got a lot to talk about.
A whole lot.
17 points.
Hey.
Well, some people might not even know what the Iron Bowl is, D. What? Describe to them. Tell them about the Iron Bowl.
When you come out of the womb, you pick a side.
That's in what state?
In the state of Alabama. In the state of Alabama, when you come out of the womb, you pick a side. You either going to wear orange and blue or you're going to wear crimson and white. It never changes. It never flip-flops. It never wavers. And on one Saturday, every year,
the whole state stopped it.
Listen, you can go to CVS. Ain't nobody in there. All right?
Wow.
Go to the hometown kitchen shack. Ain't nobody in there.
Nobody there.
Nobody there, baby.
Everybody at the game.
It's going down. Hey, Young ain't finna get a little taste of that.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait till he going to get a taste of that. And you going, too. And wait till you see it. It's the greatest thing on earth.
Wow. Shout out to my old guy, Warren Covington. Shout out to my one of my coaches in high school listening to us from Virginia, man. We got a live show for you, but before we move on, please follow us on all social media at SRT Radio. Got a feeling for the Jew, you know what I'm saying? And if you want to call the show, please give us a call, 404-603-8770. Dial us up, call us, let us know. If you want to get something off your chest, please do. But remember, it is Thanksgiving, so you may want to be more thankful than anything else. Got a great show for you ahead. Tonight we got that Hot 5 at 8 coming up. And the question of the day, let's go and get this out the way. Your favorite Thanksgiving dish. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Got the SRT Power 10, of course. We're going to probably banter about that a whole lot tonight. Roundtable discussion will be obviously about college football as well. And we got email bags coming throughout the show. And like the Jewel, we will update you, give you update, live updates throughout the show as well. FanDuel report coming up in the second hour. Then we got our main man DW calling in with that Falcon report. Hope you got some questions. If you have any questions, please shoot them on Facebook. Let me know what you got. Ask anything you need. The man is pretty talented, I think. Awesome. Give us a lot of insight. So we have that coming up at around 9:10. Then we go get it off our chest and ride on out, you know. FanDuel report. And with that being said, let's get to that Hot 5 at 8.
It's time for the SRT Hot 5, the hottest 5 stories of the week.
The Hot 5 at 8 is sponsored by Smart Shield Security. If you need home security or cameras, he says now, please call our friends at Smart Shield Security. Monitoring plan starts at $14.95. Please give them a call at 404-590-3996 or visit the website SmartShieldSecurity.com for your rebates, coupons, and all other specials. Question number one, the Jewel is not here, so we had to move it to my main man, G-Money.
You sound depressed.
No, okay. not depressed. Maybe because she's not here.
Yeah, that's about it. G, I don't think he wants you to talk.
Oh, trust me. I want G to answer this one. Notre Dame having some problems. They just got slapped on the wrist, have to vacate 12 games from 2013, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think it's two seasons.
Yeah. Two seasons, okay.
12 and 13, that national championship loss, yeah.
Okay, so they already lost to Navy, which was pretty bad. So the job was already on the line, I think. So I'm going to ask G, with all of this coming up now, do you think Brian Kelly loses his job?
Well, you know they lost to Duke before that. And that is when the clock was ticking on it. With all the stuff that's happened, and he's kind of a guy that's like, he really doesn't have any accountability. So he's like, it's not my fault that we lost, or it's not my fault that, you know, these students are cheating on tests and papers and stuff. It's not on me, but it still is. Everyone has to. The coach is responsible, you know, and time is up. And they're an average team. You know, Notre Dame has much higher expectations than that. They're supposed to compete for national championships. Okay. And you don't go there and win 8 games. And so he's about to lose 8 games. So that's definitely time to go.
That's a problem.
The fathers and the brothers say that's the problem.
Like I said, the collection plate is being passed.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Question number two,
big homie, being the Braves guy that you are.
Yes.
Who are some of the names you should want to start to hear about for the Braves?
Well, Braves are young, going into the 2017 season. SunTrust Park, we already got Swanson here, Dansby Swanson, number one pick they got. traded from the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's already up. Ozzie Albies is another guy, second baseman. He got hurt at the end of the season. Look out for him once he gets healthy. Look out for him to actually make a run to come up. Sean Newcomb, left-handed pitcher. Kobe Allard, another left-handed pitcher that is very young but very, very good. Max Fried, another left-handed pitcher. They are loaded with left-handed pitching and coming up. But there's this one guy that me and D. Weir keeps trying to pronounce his name before the show. They got this kid from Texas, and he went to the Arizona Fall League and just blossomed. Travis Demeritt. Yes, hand claps. He is a power-hitting second baseman that they actually may move to third base if he comes up. So Travis Demeritt is actually a name that you definitely want to keep your eyes on. And if I missed anyone, they loaded with talent like Lucas Sims, Austin Allen, Chris Ellis, Rio Ruiz. I mean, they just loaded. But those are just some of the names that I think you will see in SunTrust Park.
You said a lot of names, but now they're going to be a producer.
That's probably for the next show.
Yeah. And probably the most important thing, can everybody get an Uber ride to the game?
Hey!
Because it's going to be kind of tight getting there. I know they got Walter Banks under control.
Absolutely. You needed him.
Yeah, so, you know.
I think that's why he gave us all them names. So he could say, somebody did something. I named him.
He going to hit on somebody.
Somebody going to
yeah.
hit.
Yeah, summer stick.
Yeah, he would always throw the farm system. So, you know, some kids probably ain't even born.
They still in high school.
Yeah, you know. But it's all good.
Man, shout out to my main man, Charlie Mo B on Facebook Live, Tanya Anderson checking in, man.
Shout out to Fred Smith, my first viewer.
Hey, yeah. What up, Fred Smith?
Don't tell Dewey where he went to school.
Yeah, you know it. War Eagle, baby.
All right, question number three. Hancock, what's up with Todd Gurley?
Nothing some blocking wouldn't fix. I mean, that's the problem. The problem with Todd Gurley, Todd is what he was last year. It's what he was when he was at Georgia. He's a downhill runner. Okay. He's not your Barry Sanders, shaking the backfield, be able to allow penetration and make somebody miss. That's not his game.
Right.
What he is a power back with some breakaway speed. It's just like Derrick Henry. Those type backs, you cannot allow penetration for them to be effective. You have to give them a lane to run in. And he has no lanes. You have the quarterback situation is bad. You got second-rate wide receivers. And that's pretty harsh to say. But, let's be honest. You know, there's no big-time wide receiver. Tavon Austin, you gave him all that money for a receiver who's actually a slot receiver or somebody that's a specialist.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's no big game-breakers on that team. So, in essence, what Todd is running against are a lot of eight-man fronts. You know, nobody's threatened by the quarterback situation. You had Case Keenum, who is a journeyman, you know, really a career backup guy.
Right.
And now you've gotten a rookie in there, Jared Goff, who supposedly is the future. So we'll see what happens with that. But still, if you don't allow some kind of threat and stretch the field to allow people to come out of the eight-man front, you're not going to run against it.
Right.
And that's what it is.
Well, he did score a touchdown last week, thank God, because he was on my fantasy team still.
You still starting him?
What's up, mama?
I guess. I mean, but that's pretty bad. What's up, AB? AB say game film is – they got game film on
it. You don't need film when you know – they don't do anything. I mean, there's nothing, no imagination on offense. It's an eye-back situation. And, I mean, the problem is, like I said, there's no running lane.
Yeah, I agree. All right, question number four, D. Will.
Yes, sir.
Now, we talked about point guards prior to the show. We looked at the mock draft, and we saw, three out of the top five.
Yeah, five out of the top seven.
It's crazy. This has pretty much turned into a point guard lead or a combo guard, whichever you want to call it. In Phoenix, They have Brendan Knight coming off the bench. Your thoughts on that, man? I mean, he was.
I got a nickname for him. Raw Deal. Brandon Raw Deal Knight.
Raw Deal.
Because he came into the league with Detroit. Played two decent. His first 2 years in Detroit, he averaged 14 points a game. That's his first 2 years. Gets traded to Milwaukee. Goes 18 points a game. Makes an all-star team.
Right.
Gets traded again.
Hold on before you go. That all-star game, that's when he got the name Skates.
I was getting to that. That's why that's part of the Raw deal.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
So, gets traded again to Phoenix. When he gets traded to Phoenix, they got Goran Dragic, Eric Bledsoe, and Isaiah Thomas all on the roster. So, you're telling me an all-star point guard is getting traded to a team with three point guards on it. So, where are you to fit in? Okay, they trade Dragic. Thomas goes to Boston. But then you go and draft Devin Booker in the first round. Another guard that takes away from this potential all-star minutes.
They didn't think Booker would go be that good that quick.
That good,
yeah,
that
quick. I think so, too.
And
I agree with that.
And then let's go to it. If you ever want to watch a from bad to worst highlight tape, type in Brandon Knight. He gets dunked on by DeAndre Jordan.
That wasn't a dunk. He got destroyed.
Yeah, he got destroyed. Kyrie Irving makes him fall in the All-Star game.
Yeah, pretty bad.
That's pretty bad. And then he also, do y'all remember the one where he jumps in the air, has nobody to pass the ball to, and just throws it out of bounds?
Yeah, I remember it. That's all he is.
So he's Raw Deal. Like,
yeah. There's another Brandon Knight play where he was with the Bucks.
See, here we go. Let's keep it going.
I think he got a steal. It was a tie game.
Oh, and missed the layup.
In like the last 5 seconds. Yes. He has a breakaway layup.
Breakaway layup.
Missed it. Raw Deal. Yeah. But he's career-wise, he's a great player.
I think he's a nice player. And I mean, coming off the bench, I mean, for one, that's a good thing, because when money time come up, if he's playing against second units and really he's a borderline first team guy,
exactly,
he's going to get numbers.
He had 32 the other night.
That's what I'm saying. And so it might not be all bad for him come, you know, contract time.
He's still getting his money.
Well,
he did start tonight as well, so he's a spot starter at best, but still.
But I'm saying,
there's too many guards on that.
Exactly.
That's a baseball term, though, spot start.
Because you got two nights ago when they played Washington, you got Bledsoe going for 29-6, and you got Devin Booker going for 30. Right. So where are you to get your shots? He played 28 minutes, 4 points.
Yeah.
No shots.
Well, with all that, the raw dealness that he's has gotten, I see why he's coming off the bench. AB say, well, hell, he can't even play defense, plus he's 6'1", so, you know.
He can get buckets. Buckets.
Yeah, he gets buckets. He can get buckets. Score, man. Yeah.
Somebody needs him.
Somebody needs him.
I got a question about Phoenix. What is with them in Kentucky?
Oh, they love
it. Bledsoe, Knight, Booker, Tyler Ulis,
and Goodwin.
They cut him.
They released him.
Scott Labrisier, right?
Yeah, he got him also.
So.
I thought that was Sacramento.
He might be in Sacramento. Yeah.
You really can't blame him.
Didn't they draft him in trading?
Yeah, they drafted him in trading.
I think that's
for the kid out of Washington.
Chris.
The big boy, yeah.
Yeah. I knew he went there.
And then you got to understand, you got the Warren kid in Phoenix who get taken all the shots. And he playing the guard.
TJ Warren.
And he playing the guard position, too. So.
Yeah. All right, well, Brandon Knight, you got about 5 minutes of fame.
What's up,
Mac? Hey, boy, you ain't never been talking about that much.
Exactly. Question number 5. All right, we're going to start over here with my main man, Hancock.
Yes, sir.
Are you happy about the Hawks getting their own D-League team in College Park?
I don't know if I'm happy. I know that this is Spurs-like. This is what they do.
Right.
And they're pretty much trying to model the whole organization after what Popovich has done down in San Antonio. So, as you've seen, that's been a real good thing for them to have a farm system where they can implement their system, the Hawks way, get them to learn how they want to run their offense, play defense, and bring them up through that organization. I think a lot of teams need to go to this.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a baseball thing. And as long as you're affiliated with that squad, you put people down that's from your organization to make sure that they know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you keep that talent. I think that's been one of the things that's helped the Spurs stay on top. You know, bringing in players that are familiar with what they do, so when they come up to the big club, they run the same things.
Okay.
So I think it's a good thing.
I'm going to be honest. In my opinion, I love it for the Hawks and what they're trying to do. It shows some initiative to try to at least put a winning product on the team. Mm-hmm. But I'm so sick of folk moving here and causing traffic, because that's all you're going to do is bring more people to the city. Be it is going to be south near the airport, but
where's it going to be?
College Park.
I ain't going to say nothing bad about College Park.
Hey, man, listen. Let me chime in.
All my College Park people.
Nah, because.
But you don't even say it. You say Collie Park. Right?
Collie Park. Yeah, you're right.
Collie Park.
Hancock just slapped him in the face with a big hand.
I didn't say nothing.
Don't try to cover it up now. And the local over here complained about extra traffic. let's keep it real. Hey, man, this is going to be great for the city. And I'm going to tell you what's great about it is I'm glad they put it on the south side. They didn't take it up there with the Gwinnett Braves or take it to 285 where they just moved a new Braves.
Right.
So,
County.
Exactly. They didn't take it there. They put it on the south side. And the Hawks are smart because they know if they can bring in that demographic, if they can get those people out to the Hawks games and to other games, mm-hmm. that's just more money and better for the city. I'm glad they didn't move it up there to where they think they can get the automatic cash at.
Right.
Yeah, you know, the two sports are different.
You're right.
I mean, baseball.
I wasn't going to say that. They opened up with, listen. First game of the year, the last 3 years, they didn't have T.I., Jeezy, and Gucci Man
exactly.
open up.
So
I feel you.
You need to say that now.
I feel you.
That's
They will never be in the Braves.
G, go ahead and give me your thoughts on
Well, it's part of the plan for everybody for every NBA team to have a D-League team, have a true minor league system and develop players because, you know, you don't want to have certain situations like a bust that comes to mind is Anthony Bennett.
Right.
You don't want to have those kind of situations.
He was the number one pick. Lord have mercy.
And my friend Ben says they're not Spurs light. They're Spurs next.
Spurs next? Wow.
One thing I'm interested in is like, what are you going to name them? Are they going to be the College Park Hawks? Or are they going to have their own name?
You got to say Hawks or something.
You got to say College Park is what you got to say. You got to say College Park.
On Facebook, this got to be one of the funniest. Lord. I'm not going to even go say no name because I don't want nobody coming after me. There's nobody happier than the city of College Park and all the car thieves.
Oh, stop it. See, why?
I wasn't going to say that.
See, hey, listen, I'm glad they put it in College Park, man. That is just so wrong.
I'm not going to go there.
See, Hancock swung and run. You know, when you swing on and run, that's what he did.
There you go, Fred. I'm with that. They need to bring the lingerie football team to College Park. That was Fred. I'm with you, Black. That's it.
Hey, man, the High 5-8 was sponsored by Smart Seal Security. If you need home security or cameras, call our friends Smart Seal Security. Monitoring rate starts at $14.95 a month. Please give them a call, 404-590-3996, or visit the website, smartshieldsecurity.com. And we definitely got to take a break after some of these comments. Mm. I tell you, boy, y'all are all the same. Listen, when we get back, we're going to go straight into that Power 10. Then we got to head the roundtable discussion, baby. Keep it locked. Sports Roundtable with the boys tonight.
Keep your ears locked. Sports Roundtable will be right back.
Honey, I'm really worried about our retirement funds.
Oh, me too. We lost so much value in the recession and the stock market. I'm worried we won't have enough to retire.
Jim next door told me that he had set up a new kind of IRA with a gold silver group. He said how simple and safe it was. It's a private storage IRA, and we could have real gold and silver in our hands.
Really? You mean we can actually see it and touch it?
Absolutely. Jim said we could have all the benefits of an IRA to help build our retirement income. Bottom line, we would own a real tangible asset, and we would have the security
of knowing we're protected no matter what the economy does. What do you think?
I think we need to find out how to get our own private storage IRA. We need to call the Gold Silver Group right now.
Are you ready to protect your future? Call 800-511-6771 now to find out how easy and safe it is to set up a private storage IRA with Gold Silver Group and find out how you can qualify for up to $700 in free silver. All transactions are privately delivered and fully insured. Please call us now. 800-511-6771. 800-511-6771.
What happens when personal struggles become public? Robin Roberts' new podcast, Everybody's Got Something, asks Good Morning America anchor Amy Robach how it felt to open up.
What did being vulnerable in public, what did that do for you, Amy?
It's so freeing because when you just tell everybody what you're going through, I felt like a weight was lifted off.
The gifts of being vulnerable on Robin Roberts' Everybody's Got Something, proudly sponsored by Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. Subscribe for free on iTunes.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
You're listening to Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on WWWE 1100 AM. Forget everything you've read in the polls. It's time for the SRT Power 10.
What's up, everybody? Hey, back yo, whoa, Facebook Live, big homie.
There you go.
What's up, man? We're about to do the SRT Power 10. Coming in at number 10 this week, we have the Florida Gators. They got a whopping 1 point in our SRT poll. At number 9, we have the Oklahoma State Cowboys. They got 3 points. At number 8, we got the Wisconsin Badgers bringing it up with 10 points. At number 7, we have the Colorado Buffaloes with 11 points. At number 6, we have the Penn State Nittany Lions with 17 points. At number 5, we have the Oklahoma Sooners with 19 points. We had a tie at number 4 with Clemson and Washington, both coming in with 24 points. At number 3, we had the Michigan Wolverines with 28 points, and that made D-Wheel happy.
Mm-hmm.
At number 2, we have the Ohio State University Buckeyes with 35 points. And again, for our 11th week in a row, bringing the number one spot in was the Alabama Crimson Tide, coming in with 40 points. That ends your SRT Power 10.
Wow. Florida's in the main.
No. I mean, Oklahoma, to me right Oklahoma now, why even worry about it? Yeah, nobody's going to watch those bowl games unless you got something on it. So that's why I think you need to expand the field. If you really want to keep interest in these bowl games, you got to incorporate them into a playoff.
Hey, because after this weekend, it's falling off.
It's going to fall off.
Yeah. All interest is falling off for casual fans.
And it's so subjective on how they get the 4, man. I can't wait till we talk about that. Because this stuff, man, what I heard today was crazy.
Yeah. What you, the championship drive or something?
Yeah, man. I listen to that craziness every week and every day trying to see just to get the gist of the West Coast versus East Coast and, you know, how they relate as far as, you know, the other programs I watch. And you get all different views and none of them are alike. So if you have that going on within the same kind of community, how is that in that room with the playoff committee? You know, they're just pulling straws, man.
Yeah. Well, I got a quick sports update. Kevin Love has scored 34 points in the first quarter.
In the first quarter?
Stop it.
How many threes is it?
8.
Wow.
Whoa.
They killing?
They got to be.
83-68 playing the Trailblazers.
Yeah.
34 and a quarter?
Wow.
Somebody said, did he have on the Minnesota Timberwolves jersey?
Had to.
He probably had on the shorts underneath.
Yeah. The ones he ain't never washed.
If you think that's bad, watch about 10:30 tonight in the Bay. Because the Lakers have beat Golden State.
Mm-hmm. They beat them handedly the first time.
And you can best believe it's going to be a bloodletting at 10:30.
Mm-hmm. think they're going to put it on.
Oh, they're going to kill them tonight.
Yeah.
Somebody in the Warriors will score 40.
Yeah, sure. One of them.
Another story, Carlos Williams has been suspended for 10 games. Is he still with the Bills? He got released or something, right?
Who's Carlos Williams with?
He's on the Steelers.
Oh. Well.
He was on the Bills.
Yeah, he gets suspended for 10 games.
It don't matter.
We know why.
Yeah.
You know. The Hawks are up 62-51 against the revenge Jeff Teague's Indiana Pacers.
I heard that. I wonder what that head-to-head matchup is like so far today.
Yeah, I'll check it out some more. And what else we got? Charlotte is actually beating San Antonio by one.
I think that's going to be an upset tonight. The Spurs are playing okay, but they're not the same Spurs. I was watching them the other night, even though they had some injuries. But they don't move the ball like they did. They don't play the defense they once played. And I think they're kind of like, I won't say rebuilding, but kind of retooling. And I don't think this way they've done it different than in the past. Like I was always talking about bringing up their own people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But when you start to see them bringing in free agents and people like that, it's a different vibe with them now. It's not the same.
And Powell's a ball stopper, and that's who they want to go through the post. So that changes their offense.
And one question we're going to get throughout the night, Philadelphia is actually beating Memphis tonight, 55-46. But we'll get to some of those email bag questions later on in the show. But right now, it is time to jump into that first hour of the Sports Roundtable Discussion.
Here's your SRT Roundtable Discussion.
The Roundtable Discussion is sponsored by Jay's Used Cars. If you're looking for a pre-owned, new, or a used car, please contact Jay's at 770-496-0339. You can go to his website, jaysusedcars.com, for the inventory. If you mention SRT Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount on your down payment. Please holler Jay's. Get your new car, used car, pre-owned car, whichever. College football playoffs, the top four didn't change. Let's ask this question first. Which team should really be kicking themselves? USC, Oklahoma, Louisville.
And Houston,
yes.
Okay, I say Houston.
Because I would pick Houston too, yeah.
Because for them to turn around and beat Louisville, and here's what confuses me about, and I know everybody finna have something that confuses them. Louisville. They lose, correct?
Correct.
And dropped from 5 to 11. Ohio State, Michigan, and who was the other? Washington. All lost in the same weekend, and neither one of them dropped lower than number 6. Now, we were talking, Louisville was by far the best one-loss team in the country at the time, only losing to Clemson on the road by 6. So if they lose and they drop all the way out of the top 10, how do these other teams lose to unranked teams and don't drop at all?
Well, I can only tell you about what I always hear, and this is what I told you 2 weeks ago. They look bad against two teams that they should have blown out, and that's what they always keep saying about the Wake Forest game and the NC State game, mm-hmm. where – that doesn't hold water when you talk about Ohio State having struggles with Northwestern
and
some other team. Penn
State. Michigan. Exactly. They lost to Penn State.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying.
They struggled against Michigan State.
But this is the narrative that they give you to validate their point. And they'll tell you why. And then they'll say that there's no out-of-conference schedule for Louisville. And then besides Florida State, they don't have a big win. So that's how they knock them down.
What's Ohio State's great out-of-conference schedule?
It's not that, but it's
they only play Oklahoma.
Right, but I think how many ranked teams have they played? See, that's the thing. They play.
But that's Wisconsin. And that's the other thing we come back to. It's not a fair playing field.
That's right. Yeah. It's not. Because check this out.
What works and what benefits that team.
Thank you.
And this is what I heard today. That even if Penn State gets to go to the championship game, if Ohio State beats Michigan.
Come on with it.
Okay? Come on.
If Penn State goes to the Big Ten championship game and wins, they still might not go over Ohio State, even though they beat Ohio State.
They would have to put two teams in.
No, they asked the guy that comes out and does the talking last night.
Don't worry about his name.
With the committee. And he said that head-to-head is not the issue. That's not the thing. He said that's not the number one thing. He said they look at the power, the toughness of the schedule ranks higher than head-to-head. So even though they beat that team, there's no real thing to come out and say they're going to get ahead of us.
My question would be, how much weight does conference championship weigh?
That's still, but it won't weigh enough because they're still talking about Ohio State could possibly go instead of Penn State. See, this is what I heard today, and this is what just blows my head open, man. I'm like, I can't understand it. It makes no sense. And then 2 weeks early, you'll say conference championship means everything. But then you come out today and say, no, we got to look at who they play, and that might outweigh whether they're, you know, whether they beat them head-to-head on the field.
It's even if it was, I mean, this was the second game of the season, but Penn State lost to Pitt, who beat Clemson.
Right.
So it's like that. With Penn State having two losses, I think that's what's going to keep them out. Like, the committee will put a one-loss team over them.
You want to know something else that's tough, too? Look at your rankings. Oklahoma's a two-loss team, right? Houston's a two-loss team, right?
Yep.
Houston beat the brakes off Oklahoma.
Off the brakes.
Who's ahead in the poll?
Oklahoma. Houston just got back in the top 25.
Oklahoma's ahead of them. How can they be ahead of them when they beat them? The same thing with Ohio State. Ohio State's ahead of Penn State.
Yep.
And they beat them on the field.
So it makes no sense. Good losses, bad wins. Michigan blew Penn State out.
They did. So it's, like I said, it's all subjective. It's all about what you're doing.
What's up, Uncle JB? No, you know what it's about? It's about who's most popular. Who brings the ratings to the stations when people start to yap about it?
I think that has a lot to do with
that. Because there's no way possible of the scenario I just gave with all those top teams losing and then Louisville losing. They drop out of the top 10. So now they went from the best one-loss team to the third best two-loss team.
Exactly.
Which makes no sense. So if you are able to be talked about, they need Ohio State and Michigan to be 2 and 3 for this weekend. Auburn is still number 15. Why? For this weekend. They need ratings to be up for these games going into the championship week so they can have something to talk about. And whoever the nation is talking about is who we're going to put there because they actually know they still got to play them. That's going to knock somebody out. But they're putting themselves in a conundrum. You like that? They're putting themselves because when people lose, you're going to have to start having arguments of teams that they actually lost to that are still up there winning. So, like you say, if reverse your scenario in the Big Ten, Ohio State beats Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Penn State goes to the Big Ten championship.
Exactly.
Wisconsin messes around and beats Penn State in the championship. So now does Wisconsin go as a two-loss team to the Final Four? Or are you going to put Ohio State, a one-loss team who's sitting at home, who
didn't even get to the championship,
who beat Wisconsin on the field? You're going to put them in. So the Big Ten is really the conference that's messing this whole thing up.
The Big Ten probably is the only conference that could possibly get two teams in. The ACC doesn't. The Big 12 might not even get a team in.
Hey, I know this is very far-fetched, but think about this. In the SEC, Alabama wins out. Florida beats Florida State next week. The sky falls,
right?
And they beat Alabama in the
championship.
Championship. Florida's a two-loss team.
Right.
SEC champion. And so now you're going to put Florida has to go. They're the SEC champion.
Because Alabama can miss the plane to the
game. They're going.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Alabama will fall Alabama's to 1 point. They'll fall to 1 point.
But now do you put two SEC teams in?
But
what if the other scenario happens in the Big Ten? Happening.
Oh, I know.
It doesn't matter.
Because Florida would have beaten LSU, Florida State, and Alabama in three straight weeks.
And they only got two losses. And they're the SEC champion.
And how far back will they have to come to get to the four? What are they?
They like 12.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Florida's
number 15.
15.
Alabama's in.
Oh, we know
they're
that.
Not going to let lock. Washington will get in. If they beat Washington State this week, they'll be in. Even though they're not the best Pac-12 team.
They're trying
USC
to show
is the best team out there right now.
Right. That's what I'm saying. They got to be kicking themselves.
Yeah.
USC has to be
the best team in the West right now. Because in the West.
They lost to Stanford. Didn't they lose to Stanford?
Yes. Stanford and Bama, 52-6.
Yes.
And Utah.
Yeah.
So they're not getting in because they got three losses.
Yeah,
so
they won't get in, but that they're the best team out
there. They can shake it up.
But what about Oklahoma then? They started off 3, loses to Houston. And they lost to Ohio State.
But Houston just beat Louisville, so that makes the Houston loss better.
Total chaos for them to get in.
And the thing about it is, they saying that they had the guts to go to Houston in the first game.
Right. So they give them credit for losing.
Yeah, they go get...
You give them credit for losing.
A good loss.
But listen, two or 3 weeks ago, we were talking about how bad of a loss that was for Oklahoma because of Houston. But Houston messes around and beats Louisville now, so that makes that loss better.
Right.
But you were down on Houston all year. Because who Houston lose to?
Navy and SMU.
But
SMU.
See, that's the bad one.
That's a bad loss.
That's a bad.
You might be able to get by the Navy game.
Yeah.
But the SMU
Navy just
loss,
crept into the top 25.
Right. The SMU loss is hard.
That's
my main man, Billy Miller, would have been checking in, we would have knew right off the bat SMU beat him. But after SMU beat him, he didn't want to
talk.
He didn't talk to him.
He's too big a human not to be talking.
I agree. All right, let's talk about Dalvin Cook. Has he made his way to New York with his recent play?
If he has a big game with Florida, he probably can go.
So he still needs...
Yeah, I mean, because when you look at it, they pushed Baker Mayfield back up to number 2. We know that Lamar's gone. Deshaun is gone. So that's 3. And after that, if Dalvin has to have another big week, then he might be invited.
Be weird what you think.
He has to have a Heisman moment to get there. Like, he really has to put up 180-2 with 2 big dynamic runs. And he might get an invite because, like you say, this is their last go-round.
Right. It's just a career. It's his last career achievement award just to be going. That's all it will be.
Yeah, just to have. But how often does the committee invite 4 players?
It's happened back in the day. Now, recently it hadn't been.
Yeah, it hadn't been recently.
But I think like.
There would normally be 5, sometimes 6.
Yeah, it used to be at least 5.
But you can't name 5 or 6 people that are actually worthy of going to New York this year.
Yeah, because
Baker Mayfield don't need to be in New York.
I'm
sorry.
He's number 2 right now.
There's not a whole lot of people on Lamar Jackson's level. It's kind of like Lamar Jackson.
It's a done deal.
It shouldn't, and they still try to push that narrative to say because he lost in his game, it opened the door. How can you open the door when you were so far ahead?
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
Well, even if you open the door, he's so far in the house that you still can't see it.
He in the bedroom, you in the den.
I think that's something someone tried to come up with because just as recently as Johnny Manziel, that team lost 2 games. Mm-hmm. When Tim Tebow won, they lost 3 games. Mm-hmm. When RG3 won, they lost 2 or 3 games. So just because they're not in the national championship picture, that doesn't necessarily disqualify him. I think that's just a false
Deshaun Watson
trying to create.
I know Deshaun Watson has the name. His numbers are comparable to last year, but his interception, he's not having a Heisman Trophy worthy year.
He set his bar too high last year. That's what it was.
He did. And for him to lose the award.
Right. It was so, he was up so high coming in. He was odds on favorite besides Fournette.
That's what we called it, yeah.
And, you know, with his him not having the year and Clemson not being the dominant team, and he contributed to that, a lot of it, mm-hmm. them not being dominant, I think took him out of it. But let's be real. It's all about popularity. And that's if it. The four-letter network gets behind a certain candidate, it pushes them to the top. And they were waiting on Baker Mayfield last week against West Virginia to have that big game to help him.
Right.
But he didn't need it. They beat West Virginia so bad, mm-hmm. He didn't need to make any plays. They ran the football and did what they had
to
do.
So he's getting credit for, you know, the past few weeks just throwing it to D.D. Westbrook?
Exactly. That's exactly what he's getting.
And Mixon.
Yeah, I mean, when you throw a five-yard screen and they go for 70.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that might be tough. All right. Notre Dame could have a new person.
Right.
We already said Tyler Strong was packing 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We did say that, right? Yeah.
Hey, but, you know, that was sad. I mean, seriously, did you see the press conference?
I did.
And he was talking, man, and it put me in the mind of the Friday's move. When dude was sitting there and he was talking about he stole the chain, he walked out toward the car. He said, he going to cry when he gets in the car.
He's
going
to cry in the
car. That's all I can think of. I said, when he walked off that stage, he going to cry when he walked off stage. It was tough, man. It was hard to look at.
Yeah, it was.
You know, everybody in the stands, all the news people, everybody know you're fired. But you're still sitting up there trying to defend and say, well, they haven't told me.
Yeah, they hadn't told me yet. Come I'm fired.
But it's a technicality.
Yeah. But for $10 million, I think
he
I
He ain't too mad.
Yeah. But for $10
he's
million.
He has a little pride.
Yeah, that helps.
That's help.
That helps a lot.
Yeah. All right. So Notre Dame could have a new job. I mean, a new person. I'm just going to go through the names. Possible openings.
Oh, openings. Okay.
Notre Dame, LSU, Texas, Florida State, Houston, Baylor.
Oregon.
Best job out of those.
Give that list one more time.
Yeah, one more time.
Notre Dame, LSU, Texas, Florida State, Houston, Baylor, Oregon.
Hey, hold on. You say Florida State?
He's saying Florida State because LSU is making
a run. Yeah. That's
at,
what I'm saying. I was putting
at Jimbo.
Should I put Georgia State in there?
No. I like, to be honest.
The best job you can take out of those.
I'm going to be honest with you. And it, to me, it's still the Texas job if it's the right coach. See, Charlie Strong just wasn't the right coach. I think if Herman goes in there, it's going to be perfect. He's already loaded the cupboard. They got talent through and through at Texas. They just need the right person in place that the whole organization is going to get behind. Money is no problem. They're going to pay every assistant that you ask for. See, that's the problem with Florida State right now. And the only reason they might lose Jimbo is because they won't open the wallets up and pay his assistants. They'll pay him, but he wants more money for his assistants. LSU will open that pocketbook up and give him money for this. So that's
I think that's a done deal.
That's a problem. That's an issue. If he goes, that's going to be the issue with him leaving Florida State. But I don't know if he wants to leave Florida State because of what he's built there. But and the other thing, D. Will, it's a lot tougher to win a national championship at LSU than it is at Florida State.
It is.
You look at the squads and people you have to play at the SEC, I think it's an easier job at Florida State than it is at LSU.
That I can't argue with.
So
but
what about a Notre Dame job?
I mean,
listen. I put Notre Dame and Texas on the same level of
prestige.
Not even prestige. I think those are hard jobs. And the reason I say that is because on the Notre Dame front, the academics to be able to get the players you need to be successful year in and year out into school is hard at Notre Dame. Right. The academic standards are higher, so they don't get all the five-star players that they should, that they would get because of their prestige. In Texas, Charlie Strong should have been successful there. But if you don't
let me ask you this, though. When you go into the door, right, and the first thing they say to you, the biggest booster in the yard says,
Rhett McCombs.
You're the wrong person.
Yes.
That sets the tone for the whole situation.
And that's
you're already
my point.
Behind A-Buck.
That's my point. He should have been successful there for all the things that you did name about them. They have all the resources. They have all the money. They have everything you need in place to be a good team. But if they don't like you, it won't happen.
Exactly. That's what I said. Remember what I said at the beginning? Has to be the right coach.
I think that's the key for Notre Dame.
Keep it clean, y'all, because I know what I want to say.
Well, we won't even go there in this time of Trump. Did I say that?
Yes.
Go ahead, Z-Mike.
It's key for Notre Dame to hire the right coach, because they keep – the last couple of times they've been going with the hot name, Brian Kelly, Charlie Weiss, Ty Willingham.
He was hot?
At the time. Yeah. At the time, it kind of burned out pretty quick, but they keep going with the hot name rather than, all right, let's get the best. If it's the, it doesn't have to be the biggest name. Like, they're going to try to get Urban Meyer. I know they're going to try.
Right.
But
that's what I said. That's,
if not Urban Meyer, then someone who's the,
that's Domino's,
clearly the best guy for the job.
So if they get Urban Meyer,
Ohio State, put Ohio State on the list.
Tom Herman is going to Ohio State.
Okay.
He's not going to Texas.
I still think he's going to Texas. I thought Ohio State at the beginning. But well, I think Texas is going.
But
let me.
This got to be the question of the year. Got to be the question of the year. If Urban Meyer leaves Ohio State and goes to Notre Dame, which would be said he left to make it easier to get to the championship, or Harbaugh ran him out of the conference?
You can say either one, because it's subjective. Because he left.
I mean, that was
Saban ran him out the SEC, and now Harbaugh gonna run him out the Big Ten. It's safe to say.
And he can say he ran out, but he ran out with championships with both of them.
Both of them.
That's what he can always say, you know. But it's tough. But you got your own network at both of the schools you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame and Texas got their own TV deals.
Yeah.
Their own networks. No other schools can say that.
No.
You know, when Notre Dame has NBC, man.
Always have.
That contract is going to be up soon, but
they're going to renew
it. They're going to renew it if they get somebody like Urban Meyer.
Exactly. You get, and that's the thing. You're talking about go get the hot coach. You have to get hot coaches at those type schools. You have to. You can't go out and get somebody that's not. You
can't go get a coordinator.
Well, yeah,
Charlie Weiss was the hot coordinator.
He was the hot coordinator.
From the NFL, though. From the NFL.
Yeah. The same. That's this,
they just didn't bring
up. Here's my thing. Who will be the first domino to fall? Or who do y'all think is the most important domino to fall for the coaching carousel to get it kicked off? Because is it
LSU?
Jimbo leaving?
It got to be the LSU Florida State.
I think it's either Jimbo or Urban.
Yeah.
If one of those two leave those programs,
what do you think?
I think it gets crazy.
What does it take for Urban to leave? A loss?
Nah, nothing.
Who knows?
Just firing of Brian Kelly.
That's his dream job.
I think that's what they said.
But going back to what G was talking about, the hot coach. Let's go through the hottest coaches now. There's been rumors, you know, I don't start them. Just talk about them once they out. P.J. Fleck.
Yes.
Western Michigan. Has been linked to Oregon. He's a hot coach right now.
Yeah, he's hot.
Larry Fedora. North Carolina.
Yeah.
Hot right now. Auburn offensive coordinator.
Rich Latchley.
Hot right now. They actually got him tabbed as the next Georgia State coach. But I don't know if, I mean.
Maybe he moves on to Houston.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe move, yeah.
Because a lot's finna, because like I say, it's a domino.
I don't think you would even look Sun Belt if the list I just named, yeah. When you can.
I don't know if Lashley, whatever his name is, Lashley, is ready for a big time program. So I think a step to like a Houston would be
Houston
great.
May work.
I think that would be good for him. Mm-hmm. Also, the coach down in South Florida starting, Willie Taggart is getting some.
Yeah.
He's, I actually like love. Lane Kiffin at Houston.
I like Lane going somewhere like that too. That would be nice.
I'd be worried about Lane Kiffin going anywhere.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
That would be a good fit for him.
He ain't going nowhere.
I would be worried about him going anywhere. Oh, I don't like.
See, he just.
It'll be hard. That's to why see, I don't want to see Lane flaming out again as a head coach.
Yeah.
As a coordinator, he's good.
I just got
to. If
feel
I were Alabama,
gone.
I would try to too. Convince him that maybe he should stay for his own. His own.
But Houston will
best
be
interest.
But, his own but best interest.
Houston
best
is the program. Stay. Is the stepping stone program, like Tom Herman used it mm-hmm. as. That's your you. If you can go there and get you some wins and get you some buzz, your next job will be the job.
Right.
Well, East Carolina has started to be that. Now South Florida could be
that
with Taggart being there mm-hmm. as well.
But let me this thing about Texas and the reason that they might jump the gun and they're so gung ho about getting Charlie out of there immediately is because Texas A&M still. Might be talking about.
He's on the hot. He's on the block too.
You're right, because it's always this November swoon.
Come on.
And so they're talking. What's my man's name?
Sumlin.
Sumlin. Texas A&M is maybe talking about jumping the gun and going firing him to get Herman. And Texas does not want to let mm-hmm. Herman get out of the crosshairs.
Mm-hmm.
So they're thinking about not waiting and pulling that trigger early.
Now this is the thing. I think D. Weir brought this up. Earlier in the show where Georgia didn't interview nobody but
what's up, Steph?
Right?
Nobody but.
So will Kirby Texas Smart. Do that? Don't interview nobody else because you so gung-ho on Tom Herman. And we saw what that got what that has gotten the Bulldogs.
You better be right.
It's well, it doesn't matter because it's that train left the building last year. Mm-hmm. They wanted Herman from the start of this season, actually.
Yeah.
And the only reason Charlie got a little reprieve because we thought they had turned the corner when they beat Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, we thought the program was headed in the right direction and everything was going right for him. But they still wanted Herman before the season started. I mean, it's not a secret that Red McCombs didn't want Charlie Strong. It's not a secret that he wants Tom Herman. So, with him being the major, you know, benefactor to the school, it is what it is. He's driving that train.
All right, real quick, let's go back. Can Oklahoma State make a move?
You know, the only problem with them is that they had that crazy bad loss to Central Michigan.
Well, based on what the coach said. He said they look at us as a 10-win team.
That's what the coach said.
Gundy crazy anyway.
Yeah, he
got a mullet.
He still got a mullet. But he's not in that committee room, man.
Hey, how do y'all feel? The coach, they got 9 wins. The coach said, well, we are a 10-win team.
Right. He just trying to convince everybody.
Yeah, I guess he's just talking out the side of his neck.
Hey, it worked for Trump.
It did work.
It worked. So you say whatever's relevant at this time.
Yep.
You might change later.
Yep.
Just say something now. It don't matter.
Get the ear.
That's it. So, I mean, he's saying the right things, that they're undefeated.
Shock factor.
Yeah, say it enough.
Wow. I got a quick email bad question. I guess D. Will probably want to take this one.
Always.
Real quick. Buddy Hill, Chris Dunn, haven't heard much from them in the NBA season thus far. Your thoughts?
Buddy Hill's on a bad team, and they're asking him to do a lot. He has moved into the starting lineup, and hopefully we can get somebody on from the Pelicans real shortly to talk about that. But Chris Dunn, he locked up in a bad situation sitting behind Ricky Rubio because they're still pushing the initiative, and he's the starting point guard. And
That's another team with too many guards.
Exactly. They're reluctant to turn over the keys to him because, like you say, they have too many guards. Their best player is an inside player. And Midseason,
you'll see him.
I agree.
And back to the Pelicans thing, watch how better they're playing now that the point guard is back.
Yeah. They're undefeated since he's got back.
See,
Drew Holiday.
So you'll see what's going to happen is – my man with the teeth, but he will get better shot selection. He'll get some easier looks, and I'm telling you, just having a point guard that knows how to play the game,
you're right,
it's a lot. You'll see it. Watch AD's numbers still keep going up now. Watch him get easier shots. That's the thing.
And the thing for Buddy Hill, they're trying to use him as a creator, so he's having to go off the dribble, which we know is not his game. He's a catch and shoot person. So with like you say, Drew Holiday coming back, he'll be able to get those shots. And then it takes the pressure off his shoulder of having to score.
Right, right. You got a player, like I say, you got a point guard that knows how to play.
Yeah. And he's showing, in his couple games back, he's showing he know how to play.
All right, man. That wraps up the first hour of SRT with men's only. Thanksgiving, pre-holiday, and all that kind of stuff. Quick update. Kevin Love dropped 40, and Dame Lillard is at 40 as well. Eight minutes left.
34 in the first quarter, and he got 40 in the fourth?
Yeah, somebody else had to.
LeBron had to get his numbers now. Hey, listen, good job. Go to the corner.
Yeah. Hey, when we get back, we got that FanDuel report and, of course, that Falcon report. Stay tuned for the second hour of the show, Sports Roundtable. Keep it locked.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on WWE 1100 AM.
You are listening to AM 1100, Atlanta's Sports and Entertainment Radio Network, a service of Beasley Broadcast Group. Take us with you wherever you go. Download TuneIn or iHeartRadio on your mobile device. WWE Hapeville.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
Experience the difference on WWE 1100 Talk Radio. From news, politics, sports, and entertainment, you will find a variety of different discussions you can be a part of. Come check us out on Facebook on WWE 1100 AM and Twitter at 1100 AM Atlanta. See you there.
Saturdays in the garage from Advance Auto Parts.
Oil change, huh? Sure you can handle such a tough job?
You can go back to your own garage, you know.
But then who'd empty out your fridge for you? Full synthetic, huh? Nice.
Yeah, Advance Auto Parts had a deal. 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic and a premium filter for $29.99.
Smart. It's a sweet deal. Look at you, Mr. Cleanest Pistons in town. You gonna get any in the pan or just on your shirt?
Advance Auto Parts. Let's get you back to the garage. See store for details.
There's a lot going on in the world. And your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news. The latest entertainment. The newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand. Wherever you are. With the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country. And over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495. To download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Hey, HO.
What up?
We must be back with a new season, man.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
1100 AM.
That right.
We got Tiff, Hand in the building, HO and Coach.
What up?
You now about to witness the strength of sports talk radio.
Lego.
I can read your mind. You know it's that time.
Hold up.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly, I feel like Brent Grimes. About to kill a whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stall in. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the King fam.
Woo.
Been ballin' since Space Jam. New logo like the LA Rams.
Oh.
SRT next up. Big dog pick Devin Hester. And that's the word on the street.
Woo.
Tiff got me right like we run in the screen.
Woo.
Real talk, canine, know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it.
What up? It's the Sports Roundtable, live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station here in the ATL. SRT men's only are in the building tonight doing our thing. Tiff with the night off celebrating Thanksgiving. We wishing her well, but we carrying the torch doing our thing. D-Money behind the glass. HO Hand. D-Will the coach. G Money.
Why you laughing? Was that Nick Farley? my cousin.
Sports and entertainment, boy. I tell you, it is at its best. Thanks for tuning in. First hour of the show. Hope you enjoyed every minute of it. If you want to give us a call, want to holler at us, you can find us on social media at
SRT Radio.
There it is.
And you can give us a call, 404-603-8770. Give us a call, get it off your chest, let us know what you're thinking. But right now, what I'm thinking is we're about to get into this FanDuel report.
And now it's time for this week's FanDuel report.
What's up, my FanDuelers? Yeah, we're going to start here with the best value pick for last week. That was Robert R. Kelly. No, not that one. Not the one with the young ladies. Oh. We're talking about Robert Kelly for the Washington football team. Robert got 31 points, and he only cost $5,400. Mm. The perfect lineup for last week was Aaron Rodgers with 29.34 points, R. Kelly, Robert Kelly, with 31.7 points, David Johnson, running back with Arizona, 31.5 points, Dez Bryant, from them Cowboys, we them boys, 23 points. Pierre Garçon got you 20.6. Steve Smith Sr., the attitude guy, got you 19.9. Jared Cook got 17.5 for your tight end position. Robert Arguello, the kicker for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, got you 14 points. And the Pittsburgh Steelers defense came up with 22 points. Last week's sleepers... I'm sorry, last week's team that I gave you to keep an eye out for was Tom Brady, came in with 28 points, which was a good pick. If you played him, you did well. I said go with Matt Stafford. He only got you 11.12 points, not too good. Kirk Cousins was another one I gave you. He was my sleeper for last week, got you 27.4 points. So if you played Kirk, you did well. Le'Veon Bell.
How you like me now?
Player. Another player I gave you last week, 30.1 points out of running back position. So you better start listening now. DeMarco Murray got you 15.4. Well, sleep at running back. Don't listen. I gave you a bad one last week. I gave you Isaiah Crowell. He only got 4.8 points. Wide receiver sleeper was T.Y. Hilton. Got you 18 points. Allen Robinson did not do well. Only got 9.3. And Tariq Hill did not do well either. Got you 8.1. This week's picks that you might want to take a look at quarterback, plan on playing Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. Both will probably have big games this week. Running back, go back again with David Johnson and Melvin Gordon. Wide receivers, take Odell Beckham Jr., ODB. Look to have a good game this week. Amari Cooper, another one I'd like you to watch out for. Greg Olsen at tight end with Delanie Walker. Should be a good play. Sleepers you might want to watch for. Wendell Smallwood, running back with Philadelphia. With Sproles and Matthews both being hurt, he would be a good game time play. Kenneth Dixon getting a lot more time with Baltimore. Might be somebody you want to watch. Wide receiver, look for Tyler Boyd. Will probably be targeted a lot this week with A.J. Green being hurt and probably out this week. At tight end, this guy's starting to come on. Eli's looking for him more. Will Ty, tight end position, wears a funny number, I think in the 40s, but he's he's really coming on, becoming a big target for him. So those are your players you might want to look out for next week. Do your FanDuel thing. Tune in next week. Let me know how you did. FanDuel, get with it.
Hey, so Robert Kelly, you got him in there?
Do I have him?
Yeah, I mean, Do we play him?
Who Rob? No, you don't play Robert.
You don't play Robert.
You gotta hear Robert.
Hey,
oh, which one are we talking about?
Well, let's talk about the one play for Washington.
Yeah. Okay, that's the one. Yeah, my fault. I got lost.
Stay with him.
I got lost.
Is it Chris Thompson, the other running back for Washington?
Yeah. But I think Kelly is moving into that number one role, man. So he would be the guy if you're gonna pencil in a back. With Washington, Kelly is starting to be that player.
Okay.
So look for him. He's really taking the lead in that position.
Okay. Cool. Thanks for the FanDuel reports. Actually, I won the FanDuel. In the fantasy last week.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, I saw you.
You saw me.
I thought I. I was struggling.
I took a beat down.
Did you?
Yeah, Slick Money. Rain Man put it on me.
He rang the bell on me.
He did to me, well, not as bad, but he did to me what I did to Big H on last week.
Yeah,
He put up 140 on me.
I had to sweat, man, because they had Houston was playing.
Really?
And, man, I won by 1 point. He had his running back playing.
Oh, yeah, I see. Yeah.
So I got right in there with 1 point. Yeah, I got Mike by one.
Yes. All right, man, I'm glad we're talking about FanDuel and football because now it is time to get to our very own Falcon Report with our main man, D.W.
Ryan, pressure up the middle, throws. He's got a man wide open, and he connects with Taylor Gabriel. Off to the races. Touchdown! Touchdown!
Please welcome everyone's favorite Falcoholic, David D.W. Walker.
D-Dub, what's up, man? Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we great. We great. The Falcons had a bye week last week. Not sure if you did because I saw you on Twitter still working.
Yeah, and never stopped grinding.
It never stopped grinding. All right, real quick, want to jump right in. If you can give us some updates for the injuries and any signings or anything new that's going on with the Falcons. We done missed them for a week. So kind of catch us up and catch our listeners up on what's going on.
All right. Well, the good news is it looks like Tevin Coleman is 100% healthy, and he will be back for the game on Sunday versus the Cardinals. Unfortunately, our punter, Matt Bosher, looks like he is still dealing with a hamstring injury. The Falcons did just sign another punter to the 53-man roster. So more than likely, he will probably be out this Sunday. Uh-huh. Desmond Trufant has been practicing on a limited basis, but his status for the game on Sunday is still somewhat up in the air. Other than that, the team is healthy, minus obviously the loss of starting tight end Jacob Tammy, who unfortunately did have to have season-ending surgery and is now on injured reserve for the season.
So Dwight Freeney is set to go?
Dwight Freeney is set to go. The only thing that's keeping him out of practice is the rest that they give to the veterans.
Oh, okay. All right, speaking of tight end, you know, good luck with Tammy. Hopes he gets well soon. Do you think that Hooper and the other tight ends can kind of hold down the fork for the Falcons moving forward?
I think they'll do okay. I think, you know, Tammy is a seasoned veteran. He's been playing many years. You know, Ryan obviously liked him as a target. Hooper has shown some great signs that he's going to be a good tight end in this league. But he's also shown that he's still a rookie. He's still a bit inconsistent. Our third tight end, Joshua Perkins, they've had him out there a good bit. The team likes him. He's a good receiving tight end, but at this point, I wouldn't expect big things from him. So this will be a good opportunity for Hooper to show what we can expect out of him in 2017 and beyond. The team has high hopes for him. He's looked good in spots, so let's hope he lives up to that billing.
All right. Don't look like the Falcons are getting any respect from the power rankings, but, you know, that's not nothing. There's nothing new. So I'm asking you, what do you think the Falcons need to do to get back on that track that we were on earlier in the season?
Well, I think when it comes down to it, it's all about the trenches. You know, the Eagles game showed us what happens when you can put pressure and collapse the pocket. It disrupts this offense. So this offense is at its best when they give Matt Ryan time to operate out of the pocket and when they clear some running lanes for our running backs. So I think it's going to start with our offensive line limiting the penalties and making sure they do a good job. They've got a pretty tough task, you know, coming up with Calais Campbell and Chandler Jones of, you know, the Cardinals coming in. But I think this is a unit that if they bounce back, this offense can put 30 on the board again and get back to getting the respect that they deserve from the rest of the NFL.
D-Dub, what's up, man? This is Sports Superhero. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Same to you.
Yeah. Well, what I want to know, man, is looking at this game, I watched Arizona a little bit last week, and they had problems picking up the pressure from the Vikings. Do you think the Falcons will be able to get pressure with the front four? Will they be able to would have to bring in some, bring some from the back end, from the linebacker, or probably drop a safety down to get that pressure that I saw. They, you know, looks like Arizona had a problem adjusting to that. So how will we get pressure on the quarterback?
Well, to be honest, the Cardinals have a pretty bad offensive line. Other than their center, they're in bad shape at pretty much the rest of the unit. So this Falcons pass rush, which has looked much better in the past, you know, 7 or 8 games, I think they can get to Carson Palmer. And Carson Palmer has shown that if you pressure him, he can be forced into throwing some picks. So I actually think the Falcons defensive front stands a good chance of, you know, forcing some turnovers, getting some sacks, so long as they can help slow down the running game just a little bit, which is easier said than done when you're going up against David Johnson.
Right, and that was another thing, boy, stopping that monster. The other thing I wanted to say was and ask you about was, you know, seeing that Tampa Bay went on the road and got a big win this week, one that I wasn't really expecting. Do you think that's providing a little more pressure to the Falcons? Are they kind of looking over their shoulder thinking that, you know, maybe they had kind of put Tampa Bay out of their mind and maybe even Carolina? It tightened up a little bit. Do you think they'll be feeling any of that pressure coming up?
I think probably so. You know, it's the easiest way into the playoffs is by winning your division, and now Tampa is only one game behind. I do think it, you know, bears reminding that, you know, Tampa's got a pretty tough schedule coming up. They have to play the Seahawks, the Cowboys, the Saints twice, the Chargers, and the Panthers. So they certainly would have to pull off some very big upsets to make a significant run. But, you know, at this point, it's the Falcons' division to lose. And honestly, I think they need to worry more about getting the wins and less about who's coming up behind them.
Okay.
D-Dub, what's happening, man? It's D-Will, the coach.
How you doing?
I'm good, bro. I got a good one for you. Giving up 208 to the Eagles, all right, on the ground last week. And we mentioned it a little earlier, that beast David Johnson coming in. What do we have to do, in your opinion, to somehow slow down that rushing game? And he's not only a great rusher, he does catch it out of the backfield also. So what do we have to do to kind of curtail him to slow down that Arizona offense?
That's a great question. I think, you know, it's easy to forget that before the game against the Eagles, the Falcons were actually number 8th in run defense. So they had done a pretty good job up until that point of stopping the run for most teams. I think the big thing is if you can put the Cardinals behind by scoring some points and forcing them into more of a passing mode, that is your best bet at limiting David Johnson. Otherwise, this guy is a beast. As one of our writers said, he is a rolling ball of scissors. So good luck trying to stop him on Sunday. I think you have to. I think it has to be a shootout, honestly.
And I'm glad you said that about us, the Falcons, having to put up points, because with the return of Tevin Coleman, how much do you think that's going to help the offense going forward? And do you think we can get back to seeing the offense we saw earlier in the season when we had Tevin and Devontae coming out of the backfield and giving that kind of that salt and pepper kind of shaker on the offense?
Thunder and lightning.
Thunder and lightning. I didn't want to give him that. That's already been taken. I'd give him salt and pepper.
Thump. Yeah. Bump and thump.
Well, getting Tevin back is huge. You know, he is arguably the fastest player on the team. I think there was a statistic earlier this year, one of the plays, he actually ran over 22 miles per hour. So this guy is a home run threat every time he touches the ball. I think our offense has missed him. I think he is a game changer, especially when you line him out wide and you force a linebacker to drop in the coverage, you know, against this guy. There are very, very few linebackers in the league that can keep up with someone the speed of Tevin Coleman. And I think, you know, he adds an extra element to this offense that we've been missing. And I think he's going to be the difference in the game on Sunday.
All right, D-Dub, this is a question I really don't want to ask. It boggles me to even see this rumor that's coming out. There's a rumor that Robert Alford could be possibly getting cornerback number one money. And I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, You know, I'll say this. I think Robert Alford is a much better corner than people realize.
Give it to him, DW, because H.O. don't like him.
What's that?
H.O. doesn't like him, so give it to him. Give it to him. He calls him Robert Awful.
Well, all right, fair enough. The guy's a penalty machine, but other than that,
yes, he is.
He is. He's got all the elite physical traits you could want. You know, he's fast. He can turn on a dime. minus the penalties, the guy can do a pretty good job. And unfortunately, in the NFL, there is just a complete void of good corners, and teams every single year overpay for the next big corner that's just waiting for his opportunity. And I think the same thing will probably happen with Robert Alford. I don't think the team can afford to pay two guys. And to be honest with you, if I'm the GM and I'm looking at paying Alford or I'm paying Trufant, I'm going to pay Trufant every single time. So
yeah, you'll pay Trufant. But let me ask you this. If Robert Alford was wearing a Seattle Seahawks jersey, he would not get near the calls that he's getting, you know, the penalty calls. He is in every play. He's physical just like any other corner. He just doesn't have a name to me. That's the biggest issue.
I've seen a few calls that he's been called on that Richard Sherman would have walked away with clean. So.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, you know.
You want to change that name, Big H.O.?
Well, I did last week. You know? You know, when he made it, and I did give a disclaimer. It's a question that I really don't want to ask, yeah. But I have to ask because, you know, this is what we do. But in saying that with Robert Alford, how much of an improvement has Brian Poole made it for him to be expendable now?
Well, Brian Poole is a huge part of this. You know, undrafted rookie coming out of Florida and is basically a starter. You know, he's not listed as a starter, but as that nickel corner, he's getting about 67% of the snaps. And he has had a fantastic season. And when you've got another corner like that that you know is, you know, come in and from day one has contributed, it certainly makes it easier to be able to look at an Alford and say, okay, we'll let him walk in free agency. So that's a great point. I think Poole has certainly made that decision easier for the team.
Okay. All right, you know how we do, D-Dub. What's your prediction for Sunday, baby? Give me some Thanksgiving love.
All right, well, here's the turkey and the gravy for you then. I think the bye week is going to make a big difference for this team. Honestly, a lot of people were freaking out after the Eagles game. I think this was a team that was tired and beat up a little bit. I think the bye week came at a perfect time. I actually think the Falcons are going to go on a bit of a run to close out the season. The Cardinals are a better team than people give them credit for. But when you look at the matchups, the Falcons just overwhelmed them in offensive talent. I do think, you know, they'll score some points. David Johnson is going to get his yards. He's probably going to get his touchdowns. But honestly, I just think the Falcons outscore them. So I think it's going to be a win for the Birds. It's going to be 35-24 Falcons.
There you go.
Like it.
All right. All right. Tell our listeners and everybody how they can reach you and what they can read.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at FalcoholicDW. I am also co-hosting the Falcoholic podcast with Gina Thomas, which comes out every Wednesday. And you can find my articles at www.thefalcoholic.com.
D-Dub, always good to talk to you. Let's talk soon. Happy Thanksgiving, and it's been great. Thanks again, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Same to you. Rise up.
Rise up, D-Dub. D-Dub, man, of the Falcoholic, man, he comes in and just sheds light.
Knowledge,
insights. He even tries to get me to like Robert.
Say it.
Alford.
There you go.
Can he at least be Robert I?
Yeah, his P.I. is his middle
See,
name.
See, stop it, man. Stop it,
tripping, man.
Pick six on to win a game. Get a man his props this year.
You got to be in the picture to make the play, man. Yeah.
Come on, man. You got to be there.
That I said it last time. I mean, a steak, a garbage can get a steak every once in a while.
See?
That's rough, man.
That's rough, man.
That's hard, big dog.
I mean,
DW ain't changed your mind at all?
Listen, number one corner money? Are you serious?
Somebody got to get paid. Him, yeah, somebody got to. You got to get the money to somebody.
He's always there.
Right, and I agree.
I mean, you
and
got the, corners
and the
that
flag
get
is always lying right there with him.
But okay, let me ask you this: was there shouldn't there have been a flag on Richard Sherman?
Listen, I don't even respect Richard Sherman after this stuff that he.
But here's my thing: would you rather him? Would you rather see the yellow hanky, or would you rather see
the band playing?
Exactly.
Well, it won't be long before the band plays because after the third down, then we got four more down.
Well, but he's not the only one helping giving up 30.
Well, I agree.
It's other holes out there.
Well, the best.
I said holes.
Is Vic Beasley a Pro Bowler to you guys this year so far?
Yeah.
What, third? Yeah. Top five, 9.5 sacks so far? Yeah. Can he get 15 sacks this year?
I think he can. Double digits.
Yeah.
But the best thing out of that conversation with D-Dub is he said, well, you ain't got to worry about the Falcons trying to sign him.
That's a good thing. He did dismiss that, yeah.
Hallelujah. All right, man, let's take a quick break. When we get back, let's get into this roundtable discussion for hour number two. Keep it locked. Sports Roundtable, all men's tonight.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on WWE 1100 AM.
I'm H.O. from Bankhead.
I'm the Jewel of Sports, Tiffany Boyd.
And you got Hancock, the sports superhero.
And I'm D. Will, the coach.
Check out Sports Roundtable each and every Wednesday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on WWE 1100 AM, where we give sports information and we do it in an entertaining way.
We provide live sports updates, sports reports, and breaking news.
And the best daily fantasy fan dude picks in America.
And also the hottest topics with the roundtable discussion and the top-notch interviews when you step in the coach's corner.
Again, check out Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew each and every Wednesday from 8 to 10 o'clock p.m. only on WWE 1100 AM. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
we're going to build a wall for you.
Our favorite hashtag,
We Know Sports.
Welcome back. Have a seat at the Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on AM 1100.
Here's your SRT Roundtable Discussion.
SRT Roundtable Discussion, second hour of the show. It's going to be a good one. And we're going to start off with the game. Balls for the weekend, College of Pro. Hancock, give me your game ball winner for this week.
Well, my bowl game goes to ball game. There you go. Help me.
I got you.
Ball game goes to Jameis Winston, Florida State alumni. Big Jameis had a big game, big win against Kansas City Chiefs this week. He had a 62% rating, threw for 331 yards, one touchdown, had a quarter QBR of 97. And he was 24 out of 39. In passing, did a wonderful thing. I did not think they were going to be able to go to Kansas City and win that game.
Yeah,
Kansas City is a tough place to play.
Tough place.
And
to play.
That was a big win. Cost me a couple of fruit cups, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway, Jameis Winston gets my game ball this week.
Weezy, the coach.
Yes, sir. I'm rolling with Dez Bryant of How About Them Cowboys? I'm just going to do it like this. I'm going to give him a different. In the last 2 weeks, since his father passed away, all right, Dez Bryant has 12 catches on 17 targets, 196 yards, 3 touchdowns, with 2 of those touchdowns coming this past week, so that's why I gave him my game ball. 2 touchdowns in another win, in a 9th straight win for the Dallas Cowboys. Now, a lot of talk is being talked about the two rookies in Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, but Dez Bryant is starting to come alive with those 3 touchdowns. He's starting to look for him more. He's starting to get open more. And if he gets happy, that's just going to be an extra. Because that is an ultimate weapon for Dak Prescott.
Right.
All right. So if he can keep handing it to Zeke, and now he has the time to find Dez Bryant. And I don't know how it happens, but some crazy way, Jason Witten's still open every play.
Oh, he's got to be open because you got too many options on the team. You got and Beasley.
Cole Beasley stepping
exactly.
up.
Exactly. But see, what you're saying about Dez, I really agree with. But I think it's more of a comfort zone because I think Dak is understanding that Dez is open even if he's covered.
Exactly.
He's cutting it loose now. You can see, throw it, because he'll make the play. And if he doesn't make the play, more time than not, he'll knock it down. So I think he's just saying, okay, I'm going to give you a chance.
Exactly. And Dez is coming through for him, Matt, catching it, and not only catching it, but getting into the end zone.
Right.
All right, my game ball goes to, I know y'all from the lab.
We are.
Yeah. SMU.
Oh, Lord.
Cornerback. Horace Richardson.
Oh, stop it.
He saw something better with his name. Stop, he saw something better named Horace.
He had to go all the way to SMU to find a Horace.
SMU.
They did beat Houston.
Yeah, but they haven't been good since Eric Dickerson.
So we talking about the game ball, though, right now. Listen. Two pick six. One for 80 yards and one for 70 yards. I mean, you
150 yards on two touchdowns on two picks.
Who are they playing against?
Houston. Hello. Greg Ward, yes.
Win.
Not.
Oh, man, y'all go dog Greg.
Go ahead, man.
G-Money, give me your game ball, man.
All right, mine goes to the Minnesota Vikings defense and special teams. They got a pick six from Xavier Rhodes, former Seminole.
Go no.
Y'all two homers tonight. Y'all, both of y'all took them homer picks. Jameis and Xavier.
Not just because of that, though. Now, they also had a kickoff return from Cordero Patterson. All right, so that's two of their touches right there because their offense didn't do a whole lot. They only got four sacks on Carson Palmer.
Only.
But they hit him 23 times.
So he should be.
Big Beasley should have a field day.
See, that's what I was asking.
He beat everybody to the cold tub.
He did the Cam Newton. That's my tub.
He's done anyway.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you, he's been done since that playoff game against Pittsburgh when he was at Cincinnati on the first drive when he took out that knee. He has been done since then. Now he's had flashes in the pan where he looked like the old Carson. But he's never been able to sustain it throughout the rest of his career. And you see it now. It's over. He's a statue.
Yeah, he's done.
All right, let's really get into something that's something that we really need to talk about. You got all the quarterbacks going number one. Goff, Wentz, you had RG3.
Paxton Lynch.
Paxton Lynch. And then you have Russell Wilson, who goes fourth round, third round?
Third.
Then you have Dak, fourth round. Are the scouts over-evaluating the position?
Can I go first?
Yeah.
If you would have put any of those number one quarterbacks behind the line of the Cowboys, they would have succeeded too. If you put Dak out there in different places, he would be hurting too. See, the thing about it is, Seattle was able to protect Russell with beast mode and whatever. A lot of it is about where you end up. And the reason that they end up playing well is because they're better toys in the toy box. Normally, when you get a number one pick, he's going to a team that needs him, that needs a lot. Remember, the Cowboys have arguably the best offensive line for the last 3 years in football.
All five of them went to the Pro Bowl.
That's what I'm saying. So, and then when you go back and you look at Russell's situation, he came into a situation where all the money was in other positions. So they kept building a beautiful defense that gave them short fields. Well, scored sometimes.
They arguably had the best center in the league at the time.
And that's what I'm saying. So
Max Unger, I think that's his name.
I don't think that you're evaluating the talent wrong or anything like that. It's just that these people fell into great situations.
Well, one would say that if you know that you need them, then why don't you put something around them?
Because you can't miss on certain – nobody wants to miss on the next Dan Marino. Nobody wants to miss on
You get them.
Yeah.
But what else are you going to put with it?
But when you pay that number one pick, look how long it took for Russell to get paid. Look how long it's going to take for Dak to get paid.
Right.
When you're a number one pick, you're already coming in with a bigger contract, and then you're going to have to break the bank for him eventually.
But then we talked about this, D-Will, a couple of weeks ago, is what are you doing prior to you getting the first pick? What are you stacking up to prior to you getting that first pick?
It doesn't make sense, especially in the case of Jared Goff for the L.A. Rams, because they gave up so much to move up and get him.
I didn't like that at all. Yeah.
And they gave up a lot to go get him. And I agree with Hancock. If you it all depends on situation. Like, because just say Carson Wentz down in Philly. He's having a good year. If you put him with the year he's having behind that offensive line in Dallas, he's probably 9-1 also. All right, because he's pushing it for Philly, who we didn't think was going to be anything exactly. this year, and he's turned them into maybe a fighting chance as a playoff team.
Right.
So
that's what I can say. It's where you.
It's subjective.
Yeah.
I think that it is like the situation that the quarterback will go into and look at how the teams were built. For a guy like Dak, the Cowboys went kind of the way they did in the early 90s. Like, let's build up this offensive line.
That's my point.
And you know, then we'll get the offensive weapons around the quarterback.
That's my point.
And not like we just, like, put any quarterback in there. We'll still try to get the best quarterback we can, but let's try to build up every position the best we can. Not all teams have figured out how to do that. You know, a lot of teams draft in the first round for need. Oh, we need to get a quarterback, so we're going to take a quarterback with the number one pick.
Right.
Even though he's not the best player on the board, there are a lot of players you always hear about a lot of players who they're the number one player on, you know, Mel Kiper's board or something like that, but they're going number 10.
Yeah.
You can look at, for the example, the 2011 draft. Cam Newton went number one. Yeah, he was maybe the best quarterback to take. But who's turned out to be the best player from that draft is J.J. Watt.
Yeah. I don't know. I got to argue with Von Miller on that.
Or Von Miller. He went number two.
Right.
So, you know, teams are still drafting for need rather than getting the best player or, you know, trying to build something around what they already have.
Well, I think it's going to change, though.
To your point, and now do you think they're going to go the Cowboy route?
Right.
Will it be the copycat league to where you build the interior, which is in the trenches? You build that up first, and you try to get you a steal in the draft, like a Dak Prescott, that may not be, you know, on film. He may not jump out at you, but you know he spent 4 years, and every year he developed. Not just a running quarterback, because in his first year as a freshman, I only think he had 151 attempts just passing.
Yeah.
Well, the thing with Dak is that he played in the same offense that Tim Tebow played in. It was a spread offense where he's running the ball a lot. So it really wasn't looked at as he could be the player that he is now. No one really saw that coming because of what he played in. But what is popular is getting the quarterback that is 6'4", between 6'4", and 6'7", and has a big arm and plays in a spread offense. That's what Jared Goff is. That's what Paxton Lynch is, and Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz was kind of more pro style with Carson Wentz, and he was productive.
But he just played spread, on. He just played in a lower division.
Right.
The thing I see about Dak is that I did not see the accuracy that he's shown in the NFL.
At all.
I didn't know that was coming.
At all.
I mean, I watched him play at Mississippi State, and you saw like more of a Tim Tebow, like running the ball, hitting some receivers that were wide open. But when you see him throw the football, he throws it with touch. He throws it with zip when he needs to. I mean, he's very accurate with the football. So that's a plus. But getting back to your point about building a team, I think when you look at what the Cowboys did, you know, a lot of people thought Jerry Jones was going to push for taking Manziel that year. And Steve Jones, or whatever his son was, really made him take another interior lineman. And that has been the cornerstone for them to build. I think, like we always say in sports, the better you are closer to the ball, pretty much, a lot of times, the better team you have. You know, it's always been one of the things that people have already said, you know, which has been different in the NBA now because of going to more of an outside. It used to be always, if you had a big man, you'd
win. From the inside.
Right. But in football, I still think that's the way you go. You can have all the spread offense and all the running quarterbacks you want. But if you don't have somebody to protect your quarterback, and give him time to throw the football down the field. Because we talk about Arizona all you want to, about we both down on Carson Palmer. But if you keep him clean, he can hit somebody. He has some weapons out there. But I think you have to start to see teams go and start building their offensive lines. Look at what's happening in Miami right now with Jay Ajayi, how they're running the football with him. The offensive line is starting to take precedence. You're going to see that a lot people are going to build around that because it's a copycat league. If you get that one team that has done this and they're successful, believe me, everybody else is going to follow that blueprint. So you'll see that happen.
All right, going to another rookie, and since y'all on this Florida State bandwagon, Jalen Ramsey, what kind of season is he actually having? How do you think he's doing as a rookie, with Jacksonville so far? Because he was another one.
Yeah, but the only thing I've heard about him is him getting into it with Steve Smith pretty much. I mean, as far as him having an impact on this year, nobody in Jacksonville is having an impact on football.
At all, 0% so it really doesn't whatsoever.
Matter. I think he has all the tools. He's going to be a big-time safety before it's over. But I think this year is a big learning, a big test for him. I still don't think they had the right coaching situation down there. So once they possibly get the right coaching, because they got talent, they got some players. I just don't think that, I don't think they have the right leadership right down there at this time. But yeah, this year, to me, I won't call it a waste for him because I still think being on the field helps you. That's why I couldn't understand why the Rams kept their quarterback on the bench this long. You cannot get better sitting on the bench. So he needed to be on the field. So, and Jason Ramsey, I think Jalen Ramsey being that this is the first year for him, it's nothing but learning, experience, knowing where to be on defense. You know, a lot of times you're the sheriff back there at safety. So, that experience will help next year they get things together.
Email bad question. Does OKC make the playoffs?
DeWeeze?
That's a hard one because, like you say, the West is so deep. And I think they make it because, as of right now, you still got teams like the Lakers.
Still they lost to the Lakers last night.
Yeah, but I don't see the Lakers being able to sustain what they're on right now for 82 games. All right, just because they're so young. They're so young, and their top veteran leadership is Luol Deng. And Luol Deng might not say two words in the whole season. All right, so I just, and with them being having a young coach also, and I'm a Laker man.
And
so
also Swaggy P is a veteran leader on the team.
Swag hit the game winner that day.
Swag is not playing, playing bad.
He's doing what he's supposed
but
to do.
Back to the original question.
They don't travel in the NBA, Horace.
Yeah, you're right. Back to the original question. Do I think Oklahoma City can make the playoffs? Make the playoffs, yes. Be out in the first round on a sweep, yes.
I'm kind of wondering if now, they put so much on.
It was the second part of that.
Okay,
that ahead. Well, I mean, same question.
Yeah.
I just didn't say this part. It said with the one-trick pony.
Yeah, see, ahead. And that's my thing. I don't think he has to play all-star basketball
flawless.
Every night.
Flawless.
For them to be a winner, basically.
Yeah.
And you cannot, you just can't be an all-star every night.
Well, he can be an all-star every night, but he can't be triple-double a night.
You got to take some nights off,
got
man.
To.
What would help Westbrook become what he was is having Kevin Durant to depend on. You know, if he's going to have a lot of 8-for-26 games, shooting 8-for-26 because you know, he's going to be taking all the shots and he has to run the offense. And then he's also getting all the rebounds. So maybe Steven Adams starts feeling a type of way about that, even though he's about to get $100 million. You know,
but
Enes Kanter might start feeling the way. And Oladipo thought he was going to be the second guy.
And
but
that's
still,
the problem right there.
Westbrook's taking all the shots.
It's not even him taking all the shots. You can assert yourself. Oladipo is not asserting himself to be that second scorer that everybody thought he could be. I understand Russell Wilson takes a lot of shots.
Westbrook
takes a lot of shots.
He take Wilson's shots too.
Yeah, he does. He shoots for everybody. But Oladipo has to assert himself more on the offensive end. You have to be times when you come down, and because he does facilitate the offense at times, but he has to be
but
more assertive and become that person.
It's not enough of him like facilitating the offense. Like he may have to facilitate the offense to even maybe get a shot. The ball is always going to be in Russell Westbrook's hands. So
it's hard.
It's basically like, get in where you can fit in.
Yeah, well, that's what it's always been. It was like that for KD, basically.
But you had another superstar.
That's the word.
Yeah, you had another superstar. And I just don't know. I don't think he's going to be able to continue to drag that team along. It's tough.
They got to make a move.
Yeah, you're right. They're going to have to make a move.
They got to make a move.
Does Rex Ryan lose his job this year? Because we thought when he beat New England, I guess he thought too, you know.
But you can't go out and look the way he's looked the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Well, they won recently. They beat a broken Cincinnati.
That's the thing. If he keeps winning.
A win is a win, I guess.
Yeah.
Regardless of how they look, a win is a win.
They're not going to win a division anyway when you play with New England. So it's just a point of can they sneak into the playoffs?
I think Rex Ryan said if they're thinking about firing him, he should go up to the front office. Like, the Rams are about to give Jeff Fisher an extension. And you saw what his team's been looking like this whole season.
I still think Jeff Fisher got pitches on the owner or something. That's the only way he keeps his job.
Well, you know, it's somehow tied in. He got some family that's in the front office.
It's
got
to be something.
It's like his son-in-law is the something. It's something crazy like that.
Yeah. And other news, the Las Vegas has a new hockey team. The Black Knights. What are they called?
Golden Knights.
Golden Knights.
The Vegas Golden Knights. They wanted to be the Black Knights, but Army, their college, their college sports mascot, are the Black Knights.
Yeah. So hockey has a new team coming next year.
Yeah, okay.
Golden Knights.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
what sport is that again?
You should have hit the crickets, baby.
Oh, my God. Y'all are
what sport is that again?
Oh, boy. All right, man. We got to take a quick
break. Trying to get some brothers in there.
Trying to.
There you go, Al.
We got to take a quick break. When we come back, you know how we do. We're going to have to get it off our chest. Keep it locked. Sports Roundtable.
Are you thinking about changing the station? Well, don't, because Sports Roundtable will be right back.
Honey, I'm really worried about our retirement funds.
Oh, me too. We lost so much value in the recession and the stock market. I'm worried we won't have enough to retire.
Jim next door told me that he had set up a new kind of IRA with the Gold Silver Group. He said how simple and safe it was. It's a private storage IRA, and we could have real gold and silver in our hands.
Really? You mean we can actually see it and touch it?
Absolutely. Jim said we could have all the benefits of an IRA to help build our retirement income. Bottom line, we would own a real tangible asset, and we would have the security of knowing we're protected no matter what the economy does. What do you think?
I think we need to find out how to get our own private storage IRA. We need to call the Gold Silver Group right now.
Are you ready to protect your future? Call 800-511-6771 now to find out how easy and safe it is to set up a private storage IRA with Gold Silver Group and find out how you can qualify for up to $700 in free silver. All transactions are privately delivered and fully insured. Please call us now. 800-511-6771. 800-511-6771.
Welcome back. Have a seat at the Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on AM 1100.
Do you have something that you want to say? Well, then it's time to
say it with your chest.
Sports Roundtable. Back. H.O. Hand, D. Will, the coach. About to get it off our chest. And while we're getting it off our chest, your favorite Thanksgiving dish. Go ahead and get mine out now. Turkey wings. Green beans. Mac and cheese.
Man, you just say Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, really? You just naming all the dishes.
No, my bad, my bad.
Like, come on.
All right, my favorite, this is it, my favorite. Apple pie and Neapolitan ice cream. Bottom line.
That's it.
Seal the deal.
You can have that in April.
I know, but they don't buy the apple pie until Thanksgiving.
You should have said cranberry sauce and Kevin movie.
Anyway, man, getting it off my chest. I think I'm going to go with the D-Wheel thing. I think I'm going to go motivational tonight.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
You know, I always scream Bankhead because I never forget where I come from. Never. I think that is the driving force that has been lit inside of my heart and my desire and my passion for so long. That I want to thank all of the people that have helped shape me as an adult. Shout out to Coach Warren. Shout out to BC, RIP, Brenda Clay. Shout out to Slick Money.
Slick Money.
Shout out to Stephen Patrick Hancock.
My man.
And most importantly, shout out to my mom, man, who had me and probably didn't know what to do with me. RIP Mom, first Thanksgiving without her this year. But we will be thinking about her. But with all that being said, in this day and time, there's not a lot of people who can say that they get up every single morning to do exactly what they want to do. If you can name me five people who can say that, shoot me an email. Well, let me help you out. I'm one of them. I have created a life that I want to have. And I will encourage each and every individual to do the same. Happy Thanksgiving from your main man, H.O. from Bankhead.
You want me to follow that? Well, hell, I don't get up and do everything I want to do.
Not yet, baby.
I'm going to tell you, T.I.E. I enjoy doing this show. I'm thankful for the SRT show. I'm thankful for my man, big homie, Big Horace, for inviting me to be a part of this. And we're going to ride this thing at least till they turn the lights out. Now, for all my folks out there, Facebook Live, my first time going live. I appreciate y'all tuning in. I hope y'all ride with the SRT from now on. Look for us every Wednesday night from 8 to 10. Because we're going to be back in here to do it again. And just like my man Don Cornelius used to say, we want to wish y'all love, peace. No, I ain't going to trip. Anyway, I'm thankful for my family.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for my kids. I'm thankful for everybody who loves me and takes care of me and holds me down. Anyway, for all my friends, if anything, y'all know I love y'all. And I, you know, getting it off my chest, I'm still pissed off with this college football thing.
Right.
But we ain't gonna even worry about that now. My best dish, turkey dressing, a little wedge of that sweet potato pie right now. Cause that sweetness along with that little oh my goodness. And some of them greens. But anyway, we're gonna gain a little weight tomorrow. So anyway.
We're gonna gain and lose. Yes, wait, all the same day.
But anyway, y'all, you know, get your teams together, put some fruit cups on. Hope y'all win some money this weekend, cause I plan to.
There you go.
You got it, D Weezy.
Oh, mine easy, real short and sweet. Get it off my chest. Auburn sucks. Iron Bowl week. But my favorite dish, man, my mama makes something called some seafood dressing. Ooh. It's dressing with shrimp, crab meat, crawfish, all mixed into the cornbread. Oh, my goodness, boy, it's to die for. And I get my own pan because I'm the baby boy, so she made me my own little pan of seafood dressing. So I'm coming to get it, mama. I'll be there tomorrow. Oh, yeah. Auburn sucks. Happy Iron Bowl week.
G, you got some?
I guess what I say is that I'm thankful for, you know, all the opportunities that I've been, you know, that I've come upon in the past couple of years. And working here at this station was a risk that I took because I quit my last job and I was out of work for about 3 months. Mm. And even though that some people are out of work for a lot longer than that, but to have the opportunity to work in a radio station and to work on great shows like Sports Roundtable.
There you go. Way to put it.
And, you know, to have the opportunity to be creative and to, you know, talk about sports and music or whatever with lots of different people. I may be one of those people that, you know, wake up every morning and enjoy doing what I do here.
See what I'm saying? Yeah. That's what I'm, so you felt me, G.
Yeah.
Yes, I
got you.
There you go.
My man. And my favorite Thanksgiving dish I don't think my mom's gonna make the turkey this year, but it'll be like turkey dressing. It'll be the turkey in the dressing with cranberry sauce, and also sweet potato pie.
There you go. Can't go wrong with that sweet potato pie. Wow.
Y'all know I ain't never ate a slice of sweet potato pie in my life.
I got you.
I'm good. I'm straight.
Saying, I got you.
I don't understand how.
I'm good.
I got you.
You can have mine.
I got you, D. All
right. Hey, man. Shout out to my cousin, David, man. He just texted me and said he loved turkey wings, too. So I guess it inspired someone to send their favorite dish. But, hey, man, it's been a wonderful show. We hate to leave. But, it's time to go. Get prepared for tomorrow. Great show, man. Thanks to our sponsors, Smart Seal Security, Jay's Used Cars, and Blunt Power. Three sprays last for days. BluntPower.com if you want to go and get some sprays. Shout out to the SRT crew. Shout out to the Jewel. Safe travels. Shout out to everyone actually with the safe travels, including mom here. Shout out to Facebook Live. I had to cut it off. Phone going dead. Shout out to Slick Money Rain Man Show. We're going to be off tomorrow, of course, but we'll be back next week. And shout out to them Gators, man. Y'all trying to fight. Shout out to Walter Banks for his contribution to the Braves since 1965. And special shout out to the special one here, rocking with the SRT crew, trying to see what it's all about. Why I'm always downtown overlooking Atlantic Station.
Atlantic Station, baby.
Ha! You already see it, baby. That's how we do it, man. H.O. from Bankhead. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, I want to shout out everybody who tuned in and watched the Facebook Live, my first experience on it. Fred Smith, T. Hancock, Kevin McFadden, Stanley Hood, my Uncle J.B. from Washington, Robert Brown, Stephanie, my sister, what's up? Let's see, Teresa Ponzi, Eric Vinson, Trey, my brother, Brian Pollard, if I'm leaving somebody out, Tony Jackson, I'm sorry. Anyway, thank y'all for tuning in, making this experience a happy one. I hope y'all keep riding with us. I think that's about it, big homie.
Yeah.
But anyway, appreciate
Trey
y'all.
I said, what's up?
Trey, what's up, Trey?
My man. He's still in Houston, ain't he?
No, he out in AZ.
Easy.
Out there with the Falcons playing, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, D-Will.
Salute everybody, my family. And have a happy Thanksgiving, man. I'm going to the Gump, kicking with my family. Man, I might even slide up in the Turkey Day Classic, Alabama State. Maybe. But follow me on social media. I am Coach K9. I am Coach K as in King and the number 9. And also, follow me on Twitter, D Will, the Coach SRT. And that's D Will, D A Coach SRT. Holla at me, man. Keep the conversation going.
G.
Shout out to everybody who tuned in on Facebook Live, on my Facebook Live. My mom just commented, cabbage, mac and cheese. So we'll also be having that tomorrow.
There you go.
So shout out to my mom and dad. I will see y'all tomorrow. Also my sisters. I think she'll be there as well. And yeah, shout out to everyone tuned in. And follow me on Instagram at G Plays It Cool if you like. And yeah, that's it. Happy
and your podcast.
Oh, and my podcast called By the Time You Hear This. You can find it on iTunes.
There you go.
And we're about to record another episode this coming weekend. So look out for that.
There you go. All right, man. SRT crew, got to make sure we shout out D-Dub, the Falcoholic. Forgot him, but shout out to D-Dub. And I guess for the first time, y'all see how we really roll up out of this thing.
Shout out to Jew, man.
Yeah, Jewel shout Sports. Out to Jew. Keep safe travels, baby. We'll happy see you next week. Yes, sir. And from the SRT crew, happy Thanksgiving. Hancock, let's roll.
Boogie, I'm headed home, baby.
They call me Coach because I teach you how to ball.
And you already know your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Mom, R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
Hakuna Matata. Hakuna. That means no worries, baby.
Hakuna Matata.
And we out. Peace.